Birshus Mareinu Rav Shlita, the minhag today is to say good Yom Tov. Today is the day after Yom Kippur. Motzi Yom Kippur is a special day in our calendar. Not only are we in a festive mood because Hashem has forgiven us for our sins, assuming that we were sincere in our davening, it's also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain with the second luchos. So we had made amends. And so Hashem is happy. We are happy. Hashem is happy because his people have done teshuvah and they have accepted the Torah. We are happy from the result that we have been forgiven and that we have received the Torah. Indeed, when you look at what the festival of Sukkot is described as, it's called Chag Hashem, not just Chag Lashem, but Chag Hashem. It's the festival of Hashem, as if to say Hashem is the one who is happy, not simply that we are happy. So we are rejoicing with Hashem. Our topic today is the Esrog. Why is it that we put so much attention to the Esrog more than the other minim? Obviously, it's the costliest part. It doesn't grow in so many places. It's hard to find a nice one. Then there's the idea of Hidor. It's called Pre-Apes Hodor. And we do put the emphasis very much on the Esrog. And if that's the case, why don't we make the bracha al Netilas Esrog?
Well, and others talk about it, the government, a lot of it's the dominant one, it's the biggest one, so we make the bracha on. But there is a fact that in the city of Shiraz Israel, the Minhag, that people talk about Esrogfection. That when people are talking in Yiddish about taking Arba Minim, they talk about benching Esrog. Not necessarily about benching Lulav, although often we say, have you taken Lulav yet? And he says, Minhag Yisrael, Tarahi. And we find in the Gemara a number of places where what people say is what really counts. And he explains that the remez of the four letters of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's the last letter, the Hey, which is alluding to the Esrog, which is a hint of Malchus and Kabbalas on Malchus Shemayim, and that we're showing our devotion to Hashem by saying Esrog Benchen. But really, each one of the Arba Minim are given an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Medrash. Esrog is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the other one is also called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Esrog has a special place. If you look at the Gematria of Esrog, it's 610. Add to that the other three minim, and you've got 613 tag mitzvah, so says the other drum. So there's something special about Esrog when it comes to the Torah. There's something special about the Esrog when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, of course, the Klal Yisrael, that we... There's a Zohar which says, Yisrael, the right to Kutcha Brichu Chazu. But really, it's like a triangle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah are intertwined with each other. Now, I'm assuming everybody here already knows the dinim of Esrog. This is not going to be a dinim shir. But we will allude to certain dinim and the ideas which come out from them. And a lot of the things that I'm going to say come from the writings of Rav Svi Hirschferber, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who came over from Lithuania. He was the first Rosh Yeshiva in Manchester, and then he came to London and he was the rabbi of the Soho and West End District Synagogue. Yes, and my father was over to learn under him. And when you go through some of his works and you see his brilliance, he was very lamented and sad. He expressed to his friends that nobody was buying his sforim. And now many years later, someone called Jonathan Weingarten made sure that his sforim were reprinted some 20 odd years ago, and now they're being reprinted again. So the Pasuk says, "Lekachtem lachem," and you shall take for yourselves lachem. The Yom HaRishon, on the first day, what is it on the first day? Will be translated as the first day of Sukkot. The Chazal tell us the first day is not just the first day of Sukkot. It's Yom HaShem Cheshbon Avonos. It's the first day when the new audit starts for the sins. Why? Because although today is the first day, the day after Yom Kippur, people are so busy doing the mitzvahs of building Sukkah and finding Arba Minim and going to a Beigel Shia, so that there's no time to do Averus in this space between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So the first day of Sukkot is called Yom Rishon Cheshbon Avonot, the first day for calculating the sins. And then it says, Priyetz Hodor, a beautiful fruit, Kapos Tamorim, Va'anaf Eitz Olos, Va'arve Nochal. So following Priyetz Hodor, the beautiful fruit, we've got the Anaf Eitz Olos, which is a sufficient description for us to know that that's the Hadassim. Sorry, Kapos Tamorim, Anaf Eitz Olos, Va'arve Nochal. Kapos Tamorim is the lulav, the palm, and Va'arve Nochal is the willows of the brook. But strangely, Priyetz Hodor is the one type of species which is only vaguely described. A beautiful fruit. How do we know it's the Esrog? Nowhere in the Torah does it say Esrog. It's written in the Mishnah, it's written in the Gemara, Chazal tell us, Priyetz Hodor is an Esrog. How do they know? That's Torah Shebal Peh. And Rav David Yetter in the Kuzri Sheni goes into some length to discuss the fact that every single Jew in the world agrees that Priyetz Hodor is an Esrog. Nobody argues about such a thing. And to perform a mitzvah d'oraisa, so you need to know for sure which species it is. But it could be a pomegranate, it might be a bunch of grapes, it might be some other beautiful fruit like a guava. But everybody agrees that it's an Esrog. Pardon? What about the second? Yeah, well, I don't think they kept Esrog. They took the Torah literally, and I believe that the Karaites, Sadducees, just took a beautiful fruit. Oh, we won't go down that road now. They were descended from Jews. The problem is that those who don't keep the Torah Shebal Peh, they are already questionable whether their identity is Jews. And you have an even job it. That we, when we go through, say, a marriage, and the man says to the woman, "Hurry up, Mekudesh Esri, you be married to me." Kadosh Moshe V'Yisrael, but Tzvasu with this ring, Kadosh Moshe V'Yisrael, according to the law of Moses and Israel, and the laws of Moses and Israel include the dinim of the Rabbonon, the rabbinical laws. As we once discussed, Afkini Rabbonon, the condition, the rabbis had various powers when it came to the validity of a marriage. So we must take into account that the oral law is essential, is crucial to the keeping of the written law. That's the idea of Priyetz Hodor. It says Priyetz Hodor, and then it says Kapos Tamorim. It doesn't have a Vov joining them up. After Kapos Tamorim, there's a Vov, Va'anaf Eitz Olos, and after the Anaf Eitz Olos, it says Va'arve Nocha. So the last three are joined together with a Vov. The Esrog is not joined with the others. Now, there's a debate in the Gemara of whether a lulav needs to be tied up with a hadassah na'arov, a lulav tzorech eged, or not tzorech eged. Eged doesn't mean the eged does. But the halacha is, you do not have to tie, in order to do the mitzvah, you do not have to tie them together, but it's a hiddur to do so, it's a nice thing to do, and that the minag is to tie not with gold rings and so on, and there's a question of baltosif. Well, you tie it with a leaves of a lulav, so you're not adding on to the number of species involved. That being the case though, why is it that we don't tie up the Esrog with the lulav? The Esrog remains separate from the lulav and the Hadas and the Arovah. So you will answer, well, the Pasuk says so. The Pasuk says Priyetz Hodor, and it doesn't have a Vav afterwards which links it to the other three. So that's why the Esrog remains separate. But why does the Torah remain separate for the Esrog? And it says Rafferber, that really, the tzaddik, the Esrog, is symbolizing the righteous person. He's got tam v'reach. It's both the fruit and it's got the fragrance. Chazal tell us that the lulav is the palm tree. Really, you've got no fragrance, but you've got the fruit. And the hadas, you've got the fragrance, but you haven't got the fruit. And the arava, the rosha, it hasn't got any tam v'reach, it hasn't got any smell or fruit. The rosha is just compared to the arava, because the arava is one with neither. But the Esrog is special, it's the tzaddik, it's one who's got mitzvahs and the one who learns Torah. So that Esrog is a little bit separate. Why? In order that the Esrog is taken as a mitzvah, you have to have it together with the others, because of Achdus of Klal Yisrael, we all have to be together. We all have to be concerned about each other. So that's why when you take the Avaminim, you can't take one after another, you take them all as one. But the Esrog still remains a little bit separate. It's not tied up with the others. If it is, says the Prima Godim and the Mishpat himself, you haven't done your mitzvah. You haven't done the mitzvah of Arba Minim if you tie up the Esrog with the Lulav and the others. Why is this? Because a tzaddik, in order to become a tzaddik, he has to maintain some sort of separation in order to achieve his goals. For example, if you're going to prepare for an exam for college, you're not going to go out with your friends because you've got to swat for your exams. You've got to concentrate on what you have to do. You have to separate yourself in order to achieve that goal. And therefore, you're not going to manage, if you are going to social the whole time and there are missing shirim as a result, then again, you're going to fall away from that righteousness. In order to become the tzaddik, in order to become the Talmid Chacham, you have to be able to deny yourself some of the exteriors, some of these other things which take up time. Hence, the Esrog is separate from the Lulav and the others. The Esrog has a Kedusha of its own. Now, Biyom HaRishon, the first day, we said is the first day of the Cheshbon Avonos, has the Gematria of 620. 620 is 613 plus 7. There are 7 classic mitzvahs to Rabbanon on which we make a bracha. There are many other mitzvahs to Rabbanon, but the mitzvahs to Rabbanon, like Netilas Yadayim, Eruv, Megillah on Purim, Ne'er Chanukah, Ne'er Shabbos V'yontov, we say Hallel. There's the Shema Brachas when people get married. These are all mitzvahs to Rabbanon where there are brachas involved, but most of them we say Asher Kiddush Shonu, the mitzvahs of Hashem has commanded us, but they are given to Rabbanon. So they're included in 620. There are 620 letters in the Aseres Adibros in the Seder of Yisrael. And so there is an interesting idea that Hashem is saying to us that the Yom HaRishon, that now you're starting afresh after Yom Kippur when you have been forgiven for your sins. What is the first thing to remember? Now is the time to keep the Tariag Mitzvahs. So we've answered the question of why we join up the other minute except the Esrog. But there's another question. Why is it that the Torah is vague in describing the Esrog? A beautiful fruit, Pri Eitz Hodor. Why can't it just be specific, call a spade a spade, call an Esrog, and you won't have all this worrying as to what is it and do we have to worry about the oral law and the traditions and so on. There's another interesting thing about this pasuk. When it says, Urakachtem Rachebi Yamusha Pri Eitz Hodor, and Kabbalah tomorrow in Manafik Zolos Avay Nochal, and then it says Usmachtem, and you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice. What is the idea of Simcha connected with the Av HaMinim? We know that it's a festival. We said that already. Chag Hashem or Chag Hashem. It's Hashem's festival. But what is it about the Av HaMinim which gives this idea of Simcha? The idea of Pri Eitz Hodor, obviously one likes to have a nice esrog. The idea of Hidur is ingrained in the mitzvah, apart from the mitzvah of Zeh Kelim Aveiru, which is a Hidur mitzvah. And people want to go and find a nice esrog. Halachically though, when you look for a beautiful esrog, you're looking for an esrog which fulfills the Hidurim, namely to avoid the spots even on the lower part. To try and have it nice with bumps, even though if you haven't got the bumps, it should still be a kosher esrog. But people sometimes confuse the idea as to what is a beautiful esrog. There's a story told about Rav Baruch Ber, who was a Rosh Yeshiva, who was talking to a bocher who wasn't happy about a certain shidduch, and he asked him why. He said, well, she's a bit on the unattractive side. And he said to him, what, you want to marry an esrog? But although his terminology implied that an esrog is something which looks beautiful, mitzad ha'alocha, the esrog is beautiful regarding the hidurim relating to the halachas of the esrog. So we know you won't have any spots or black spots on the top part, which is the chotein. If there's 2 or 3, then you will be only, an esrog shouldn't have anything missing on it. Chosek poshu is possible. So, coming back then to the description of the Torah and Esrog Pri Eitz Hodor, so the Gemara and the Midrash talk about this. The Gemara is in Daf Lamed Hei, and it says, what is it between Pri Eitz Hodor? Eitz means wood. Pri, we know, means fruit. So Chazal say, Eitz Shatam, Eitz Obepirio Shoveh. It's where the taste of the wood and the fruit are equal. Now, I don't know what the wood of an Esrog tree tastes like. I never tried to chew the bark. And I haven't seen any recipes in the cookery books relating to the esrog bark. But Chazal tell us there's something about the taste or the fragrance in the bark which is similar to the taste of the fruit. Where does this really allude to? In Bereshis, which is the Siddur relating next week, it says, Vayomer Elohim tache oretz deshe esef mazriya zera eitz peri, osef peri levinash zera baro eitz vayichay, eitz Beit Peri, Hashem is dictating that there should be something about similarity between the eight and the Peri, the wood and the fruit. But then the following Pasuk, the Perek Aleph Pasuk Yudbei says, V'atetzar es desha esem mazriya zera, the eight osa Peri. It doesn't say eight Peri. And if you look in Rashi, he alludes to this and says it's because of the way the ground was behaving. The ground, Adomo, was not listening properly to the decree made by Hashem. How does this mean? And the ground doesn't listen? The ground is an inanimate object. Alright, we often get metaphors, and metaphors are not necessarily the way it actually happens, that a ground has emotions. But Rav Gedalia Shor writes that the ground was the ingredient for Adam HaRishon, a human being, and a human being has Bechira. So when Hashem created Adam HaRishon and he was creating him from the ground, that ground had implanted in it a certain concept of free will, whatever that means. And so later on, when Adam and Chava eat from the forbidden fruit, which many say was an esrog, the Ramban says this, and then not only do they get a klala, but also Hashem says, the ground is also cursed. And the Yerushalmi in Kilai brings down in the Torah to Nimor, he quotes to the Yerushalmi, why was the ground cursed? The ground, why should the ground be cursed? Well, the ground is inanimate. It went against the Gzeir Hashem because it says Tachio, it's Deshe, Eitz Mazriya Zera, and we said Eitz Peri, and it didn't do what it was told to do. So therefore, the ground was cursed as well with its worms and other things. But there was one species where the Eitz and Peri remained the same, and that was the Esrog tree, the tree which they were forbidden to eat from. The Esrog tree was the one which obeyed the command of Hashem. So we are taking the Esrog as a simon to us that we are here to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Then we have another explanation given by Chazal about the Esrog. Hodor creates Hodor. What's this word Hodor? Hodor can mean beautiful, but it can also mean something else. Hadar. In Hebrew we say dira, for a flat where one lives. Hadar is one who lives. Then as I am a hadar be'ilana mishona l'shona, one who lives on the tree from one year to the next. What does that mean? The esrog is different to all other fruit. Other fruits, they have a season. They start growing, budding in the spring. They come forth in the summer, and at the end of the summer, we bring in the fruits. All fruits are like that, except the esrog. The esrog, I don't know if you've ever seen an esrog tree. I once was over to see one. I was visiting Kibbutz Chametz Chaim, and I saw a very ripe esrog on the tree, and I also saw a young fledgling esrog on the tree, and there was a shriveled esrog on the tree. They were all different types at different stages of growth. And that is the characteristic of the esrog, that it defies the seasons. It can grow, although most grow as a benefit from the sun. You get different kinds of esrog at different stages of growth at different parts. What does this tell us? There's something special about the esrog which Klal Yisrael are compared to. The Gemara Shabbos in Peches talks about an apple, Ketapuach Atzeaya, that the Jews are compared to apples, and we once discussed in the Zemiris, we make lots of reference to apples, but we also refer to Tosfos there, and Tosfos say that this is a euphemism for the esrog. That we're really talking about the esrog which has different seasons of its own. And so we say that the leaves can come after the fruit. The fruit comes along and then the leaves go, which is not the right order. It's not the order of doing things. First on a tree you should normally get the leaves and then you get the fruit growing. But on the esrog tree you can get the fruit growing and then the leaves. What does this mean? It's a symbol of Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma, because the logical way is that when somebody asks you to do something, you will be asked to do a favor, and you'll first be asked, well, what is the favor? I need to know first what I'm being asked to do. When anybody human asks you. But if the king asks you to do something, you will say, yes, I obey your majesty. And you might not even know yet what the king is going to ask you to do. And Hashem is asking us to keep the Torah. So we said Na'aseh V'Nishma as an allusion to the fruit coming before the leaves. And this idea of all seasons, what does this mean? Rasser further says the fact that the Ezra can withstand all seasons is similar to the fact that the Jewish people can withstand all different kinds of eras in which they live through. Just like the Ezra endures the rain, the snow, the hail, the harsh winters, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Nun Hey, the Vayser Akim Nahalech Barogesh, that we follow Hashem Barogesh, and Barogesh stands for Borod, hail, ruach, wind, geshem, rain, sheleg, snow. That this is alluding to the tree which is Hadar al Ino Mishono Mishono, not like the Kikayon plant which we read about yesterday with Yonah, which was a beautiful plant and he was happy about, and suddenly the morning after the night before it withered away. There is something where we have a legacy where it carries on and on and on. Yiddishkeit carries on and on and on. The Kikayon plant withered away and died, there was nothing. The Peri carries on, even when everything else is withering away, the Esrit continues to teach us that we mustn't be seasonal when it comes to Yom Noroim and just appear in Shul three times a year. But the message of the Esrit is we carry on the morning after, and then we come to Shul and we come to Shir and we carry on properly. I remember in the Yeshiva world, you know, when it comes to the month of Elul, there's more tension and there's more stress about the fact that it's the month of Elul. It's the Eitz Rotzon, after all. And Tishri, and there was this self-appointed bachur who called himself a mashgiach, who would go around saying, Nu, Elul, Elul, and he saw anyone schmoozing, he would get, Nu, Elul, Elul. Tishri, Tishri. And then afterwards, in the news of man, I saw him schmoozing, and I went, Nu, Cheshvan, Cheshvan. Why should there be a difference? You've got to carry on afterwards. And the message of the Esrog is we have to carry on properly. But what's very interesting is what Rafferba writes about is that the Jews went through so much hardships throughout the years. We've had the Crusades, we've had the Inquisition, we've had the pogroms, we've had the blood libels, we've had the Nazis, the Warsaw Ghetto. Just think of the hardships we endured. That just like the Esrog endures all different harsh seasons of the rain, snow, hail, so we have been able to endure and nevertheless stick to what Hashem requires of us. In contrast, when we look at the nations of the world, they follow Hashem very diligently when all is going well for them. We find this with Paro. When things were prosperous, when Yosef promised him from his dreams that there would be years of plenty, oh, he recognizes Hashem. Yeah, this sounds good to me. He accepted the concept of Hashem. But later on, when Moshe wants to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to lose all these free slaves. When the going is rough, I don't know who this God is. And that is what you often find with the nations of the world. And it's alluded to in Tehillim Peirot, where Dovah HaMelech says, Kol Goyim Asher Asisa Yavoh V'Yishtachu Lufanecha Hashem V'Yichabdu Nishmecho. All the peoples of the world are following Hashem. Ki Godol Atom Ha'osa Niflaos Atom Ha'lekim L'Vadecho. It's when you're doing the Niflaos, when everything is hunky-dory and nice, yes, that's when the peoples of the world are following you. But we say to Hashem, No Delechol La'olam, always, whether we are suffering or whether things are well, we always have the Emunah and the Bitachon to follow Hashem, just like the Esrog withstands all the harshness of different weathers and is able to grow at different seasons. We endure. Now, we said Eitz Shetam Shoveh, or Eitz Shetam, the Pirio Shoveh. Coming back to that, there is some other explanations which are given by Rafferba. He says, Eitz symbolizes those who give to the Pri. The wood is bearing the fruit. So the fruit is the Talmid Chacham. So there must be somebody who's supporting that Talmid Chacham, or the yeshiva, of places of learning, so that they are able to function. So just like those people who are financing the learning of the Talmidei Chachomim and the Bachurei Yeshiva, those people are equal in their importance and in their reward to those who are doing the learning. Eitz Chaimi L'machazikim Bo, for those who strengthen the Torah, they are getting the same reward. And that is the meaning, he says, of Eitz Shetam, the Pirio Shoveh, where the taste is the same of the wood as well as the fruit, but those who are supporting others, and this is alluded to in Chulin Tzadi Aleph, where the Talmid Chacham is nourished like branches nourishing the fruit. And that one must still learn Torah oneself if one is supporting others, but that is an idea, he says, of the Hiddur of Esrog, being so pronounced. Then he says another idea. When you have shriveled esrogim on the tree and you have ripe esrogim on the tree, you've got the old and the new. When you've got an apple tree or any other tree, they're all at the same level, they're all at the same age. But with the esrog tree, you've got the old and you've got the new. What does this tell us, he says? That the new is seeing the old and the old is seeing the new. That the best thing about chinuch for our children is they see what we are doing and what the grandparents are doing, and that there is a connection between the generations, and that the best way for continuity of the Jewish people is that the young see the old and that the old are enriched by seeing the young. It's the same with kirov work, that we can bring in the Balei Teshuvah and they can see what is going on. There is a connection between those who know and those who don't know yet. And then, if we look at the fact that we take the esrog in the left hand and the lulav and the others in the right hand, you might say, well, if the esrog is so important, the esrog is the gematria of 610, the esrog is the real hiddur, the esrog represents the tzaddik, surely the esrog should be in the right hand. But no, says Rafferba, the esrog is able to sustain itself because of its own virtues, the tzaddik's own virtues. So the esrog goes in the left hand, but it's the right hand which reaches out. It's the right hand which reaches out to the lulav and the hadas and the arava, those people who are not yet learning Torah properly or doing ma'asim tovim. There will be a kirov done by the right hand, which is the more active hand, and we will bring them into the fold next to the esrog, in order that they can be achdus in Kol Yisrael, in order that they can learn from the tzaddik, in order to keep those mitzvahs properly. Such is the importance of doing kirov work. There is another idea which comes out from a halacha, and the remez which comes out from the halacha of esrog. There are really two kinds of pasul by esrog. When an esrog becomes invalid for use, either it's because part of it is lacking, we say choser kolshu, and then it's possible anywhere on the esrog, certainly on the first day, part is lacking, or there's a hole in it, or it's peeled, then it's possible. There's usually, at least once in a lifetime, one gets this awful experience where one's pitum breaks off the esrog, and it's a very tearful experience. Then there's the second kind of pasul by esrog. The colour might not be right, or it's gone dry, yobesh. And then there's a lack in hiddur, where it might be possible, it might not be possible. It can depend on the circumstances. Is it on the chotem, on the sloping part, on above? We're more sensitive on the bit which is above. Whereas if it's lower, we're more lenient, without going into all the details. So that you get these two kinds of pasul, where something might be okay in the second one, where it's on the lower half, but when there's choser kolshu, even on the lower half, if the stalk underneath is missing, then the esrog is possible. The esrog is the tzaddik. There is a very powerful moral message here. If there's something lacking in that tzaddik, if that tzaddik just keeps everything except one mitzvah, then he's not a tzaddik. Then nothing is any good. If you buy a most expensive car, a Porsche car, on which you spend £200,000, but there's a spark plug missing, then the car won't work. That spark plug might only cost you 50 pence, but the car won't work. If there's something chosek kolshu, if there's a small part of that esrog which is missing, the esrog is possible. Just like the tzaddik has to be complete in his ways, lacking any essential part. But then the second kind of pasul which we described with esrog, when there's a lack in the hiddur, or it might be possible, it might not be possible, depending on its colour, on the important part is the chotem, the part above, the part at the top. Why? Because with the tzaddik, we apply higher standards. We expect more of the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim have greater yetzahara. The higher a person gets, the greater the temptations that person might have. That is important when we are looking at the stains on a person's character, that they are unfortunately more pronounced when the person from whom we expect more is diminished in standards. Hence, the higher up you go with the esrog, we are more demanding with standards, just like we're more demanding with standards on the esrog. And there's an important din about esrog which is murkav. And esrog may not be grafted with another species. And the hechsher that you get with the esrog is normally to certify that the orchard from which this esrog comes is known to be kosher in the sense that there was no grafting going on with lemons. And we described briefly before that the esrog is of a certain shape and type. There are simonim of murkav. The simon, we say, of a proper esrog is that it's got a thick skin, it's not round like a ball, it's not got a smooth skin, it's got bumps on it, and so one gets already an idea, without slicing it in half and looking at the shape of the direction of the pips, as to whether it might be murkav or not. Now, if an esrog is murkav, it's completely possible. A grafted esrog can't be used. Similarly, in the same way, if a tzaddik is contaminated by minus, by some small abikosis, however small that is, he's not a tzaddik anymore. It's written that somebody who is mevazet tamidei chachomim, somebody who insults our rabbis, however learned that person is called an abikoros. Not just an amoret, not just he's not a tzaddik anymore, that person is called an abikoros. Because our Torah lives through our Talmidei Chachamim, and we have to have respect for our Talmidei Chachamim. Alright, some say this way, some say that way. There is machlokes. How do we explain it to our children? My children want to know. Do we rely on the Eruv? Don't we rely on the Eruv? So I say to my children, this Rav says this Rav says that. We respect the Rav of our shul. We follow what our Rav says. And anyone who's Mevazei Talmidei Chachamim is called an Abikoros. Hence the Tzaddik is disqualified, and hence the esrog is disqualified if it's murkav, if it's grafted with something else, with some foreign abikosish idea. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, even if someone's a Talmid Chacham, if his ways are not noeb b'maaso, if he's not straight and genuine, we don't learn from him. We don't go to his shiurim, even though you might say, oh well, I'll pick up the good bits and I'll leave alone the bad bits. We don't learn from him. We have an intolerance for somebody who then leans towards this idea. And it's those who might be leaning towards the reform. You know, when we talk about having a beautiful esrog, there's another interesting halakha by esrog in Sif Yud Tes, in Tavresh Memches. If somebody breathes an esrog to make it look like a different fruit, he'll say, look, it's a kosher esrog, I haven't grafted it, but he does something to make it look like something else, then it's possible. Why? Well, if you wear a hat, you don't change your head size in order to fit the hat, do you? You change your hat to fit the head. And this is what Rav Hirsch writes about the reform. He says, yes, we must reform, but we have to reform ourselves to meet the high standards of the Torah. Not that we reform the standards of the Torah to bring them down to our compromising level. It's like the Procastrian bed in Greek mythology, where they would, if the person was too long for the bed, they would cut the feet off. And if the feet were too long, they would, too short, then they would stretch them. That's not what Yiddishkeit is. We have to model ourselves according to the Torah and not the other way around. Hence, if you model your esrog into a different fashion, then it's possible. And when we were talking about the esrog looking round like a ball, we say in Tav Reish Mem Ches Sif Yud Ches, esrog ogel kakadur posel. An esrog which is completely round like a ball is posel. Says Rav Ferber, a rabbi mustn't be somebody who can be kicked around like a football. A rabbi has to be maintaining a stance and not be compromising on halakhic standards. I knew a rabbi who was once a rabbi in Belfast, and they demanded of him things which are unhalakhic, so he resigned. He wasn't going to give in. I knew once a rabbi who came from here, he went to Wellington, New Zealand. Things were demanded of him which were against the halakha. He resigned. He didn't care about his livelihood, he cared about Torah standards. What is the message of the esrog? That it's uncompromising. It's not to be kicked around like a ball. Hence the esrog has a very thick skin. In contrast to the lemon, which has a thin skin, the esrog has a very thick skin, and inside there's very little fruit. It's firm, and it's got the bumps. It's rough. That the hiddur of an esrog is more great by the more rough and bumpy and thick skin that it is. Hence that the Talmid Chacham, the rabbi, has to be thick skinned. That the good rabbi has to be prepared to give rebuke a little bit. To be a bit rough. We all know about the rabbi who was once talking about Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Tefillin, and he said, "Rabbi, we don't want you talking about these things. Okay, I'll talk about Taras HaMishpacha." "No, no, no, we don't want you talking about Taras HaMishpacha." So he said, "What do you want us to talk about?" So he said to him, "Talk about Judaism." So the firm rabbi has to set the record straight. He has to tell people when they're not wearing their tefillin correctly. He has to tell people when they're not keeping Shabbos. The firm writes that he once bought a beautiful Esrog, but it was green. So he thought, "Oh well, it will ripen." But at the time that he chose it, he thought it's absolutely stunning and it was beautiful. But as it began to ripen, he said, marks began to show on it which were not evident before. And he said, this is also Musa. He says, there are some people who, on the outer of image, appear very holy, and they give a very good impression. But after time you get to know them, and things come out from their mouth which is not so kosher. He said, one has to be genuine from the beginning and stay that way. And the message of the Esrog is that it has to be hidur from the beginning in order to be used for the mitzvah. Alright, if it's fully green, it might well ripen in time for Sukkot, so then it will be kosher. And then you will see whether any blemishes on it. But hence is the message. And he says another thing. He says, when you look at the pasulim of the Esrog, they are external pasulim. They come often from exterior causes. The link is necessarily inherent in the Esrog itself, but there are externalities which might break it, or which might mark it and stain it. He says, so it's important that the tzaddik maintains a kosher environment, and not to mix amongst those where the influence externally might be helpful. One has to watch and be beware. Well, we said that the Esrog is 610. We also know that the Esrog is compared to the heart. Chazal tell us that the Lulav is compared to the spine, the Hadas is compared to the eyes, and the Arom is compared to the lips. And interestingly, if you add up the gematria of Esrog, Lulav, Hadas and Arom, you get 1,224, which is the square of 32. 32 squared, 1,024, and 32 is the gematria of Lev, the heart. So we are serving Hashem when we say Rakhtin Lachem Bayom Rishon. You're taking the Arba Minim, you're taking the Esrog and the Lulav and the Adas and the Arava, that you're serving Hashem with your spine as you walk, with your eyes, with your heart. And of course, what do we say in Shema? Those are Suru Achari Lavavachem, don't go according to your heart's desires, Vachrei Einechem, Einechem, and your eyes, which are the biggest influences for a person to do Aveiro. And we know from the Mishnah in Pagelvis, Pagbeis Mishnah of Gimel, where different Rabbonim are asked, what do you find the best thing of all? And without reading the Mishnah out, each one says, a good eye, a good this, a good that. And the one which is favoured most, the answer which is appreciated most, is Lev Tov, the good heart. That nothing should be missing or blemished from a person. So, looking at the heart is the symbol of love. Of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heart is the symbol of love, love for one person and another person. And it does beg the question as to what is actually love, and we discuss this in our shir about Shir Shirim, that love is often where you're putting the interests of somebody else before your own. That is love. Love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting his requests before our own desires. That is love. Now human nature is such that it's not really satiable. People are never really completely satisfied with what they've got. When it comes to money, when it comes to food, when it comes to security, works with people who are very virtuous, fulfilling their lives in a very interesting and positive way. But when you talk with them, there's often something lacking. What did you do over the weekend? There's something which is often lacking, that they are feeling there's some lack of purpose in that, or a lack of happiness in their lives. And if you ask yourself, you look around and you ask yourself, which person do I know who is happy? Ask yourself, people who are happy. And I've done this exercise in my own life, and the people who I know who, where you get this feeling of happiness, and they don't have a lot in their lives. I know well Rav Chaim Halpern, who for many, many years, he's just been living in a flat above his shop, above the Shtiebel. He was in his community, they all live in lovely big houses, but he insists, and they offered him a house. He says, "It's alright, I'll stay where I am, I'm not going to spend community money on a big house." He's a very happy person. He always comes across as being very happy. Our own Rav Cohn, you speak to him, he's always emitting a feeling of happiness. And yet you get people in the community who've got so much, and yet the feeling is, there's something missing. What is happiness? There are books written about how to achieve happiness. But you'll often find that it's those people who give then those people who take, who are the happy people? Yes, the monks are those who are active in some society where they're giving, some charitable cause where they're giving, and those are the happiest people. How does one cure happiness? Alright, people might be lonely, so they're lacking in happiness. So they need to combine with others. The Esrit combines with the other, the Lulav and that's the Rabba. We all have to be together in Klal Yisrael. We all have to act as a community together. And when there's Dveikus between us and people, and Dveikus between us, like a Shmachu, that takes away that loneliness, which is often the symbol of unhappiness. So what does love come from? The Rambam says that love comes from appreciating nature. In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when you look at nature, you learn to love Hashem. You study science and God's creations, you learn to love Hashem. Or, when you ponder over your small kindnesses which you've received from Hashem, which says Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, you reach this happiness that Hashem has done for you, kindnesses. Chavis HaVavavah says, you're grateful for the chasodim which Hashem has done for you. But we stress the whole time, HaBorcheh B'am Yisrael B'ahavo, with love. And with that love, you get happiness. When you learn the Torah, you become happy. In contrast, in Parashas Kisavo in the Tochacha, what was the culmination of the Tochacha? Tachas Hashem lo abadto es Hashem lakecho b'simcho. That you didn't serve Hashem with simcha, it's not good enough just to keep the mitzvahs. You've got to do them b'simcha, with happiness and with joy. And only then you will get the right sort of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the simon which comes out from the Esrog, which is the lave, the heart, which gives love and which gives happiness. The Eg Lital writes in his introduction to his Sefer, but there are people who criticize those who get a real kick out of their learning, who get a real joy out of their learning. Those people who say that you shouldn't get enjoyment out of it. He says, by all means, you should get enjoyment out of it. You should be learning Torah in such a way that it becomes absorbed in your blood, and that from that you get simcha. There is a story told about the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, who was giving a drosha, and he was enjoying it so much. And the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, was in the audience, and he stood up and he walked out of the shul. And his Talmidim said to him, why did you walk out? He said, because the enjoyment that the Al-Sheikh was getting was so great that it was no longer Talmud Torah Lishma, and therefore I felt it was not appropriate, so I left. We should transgress like the Al-Sheikh transgressed and enjoy our Torah. Never mind what the Arizal did. We should be so bad in our ways that we should be enjoying the learning of Torah. And this is what the Eg Lital says, is that's the way to be happy. And the Torah Shelo Lishma, if one doesn't have the right kavanah, bo lishma. The Esrog is the only fruit of the Arba Minim, which is a fruit. The others, although the lulav is from a palm tree, it gives a fruit. The lulav itself is not a fruit. They are leaves. The hadassim are leaves. The aravas are leaves. But the Esrog is a fruit. A fruit gives continuity. A fruit has pips with which you can grow more fruit. The Jewish people will continue forevermore. So we found some very interesting ideas coming out from the Arba Minim. The moral messages about the tzaddik, nothing should be missing. How the Jews withstand all the tribulations of generations. And we can come back to the first three questions which we asked at the very beginning. All of the Arba Minim are joined except the Esrog. Why? Because the tzaddik has to remain a bit aloof in order to remain a tzaddik. For perfection, we have to deny ourselves some of the distractions. Then we ask, why is the Torah so vague in calling Priyei Todor to give us these messages of eight superior shover, that the wood is like the fruit, and all the messages we learnt about the wood and the fruit. And Hadabi Lona Mishona Lashona, that it's throughout the seasons you've got the Esrog, so the Jewish people are meeting their tribulations and nevertheless sticking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we ask, why isn't the same Pasuk Usamachtem Bifnei Hashem Elokeichem, that you rejoice when you take the Arba Minim? Because when you take the Arba Minim, there is the symbol of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from that comes the Simcha. And the Chazal talk about the people who used to walk around the whole day of Sukkot with the Lulav and Esrog in their hand, because of the chavivus of the mitzvah, of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He's given us something to keep, and that Esrog, as well as the Arba Minim which we're holding, represent the Torah, represent Klal Yisrael, and represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember the triangle, Yisrael, Arayso, Kudsho, Berichu, Chadhu, and that's alluding related to any other minim. So we enter now Zaman Simchaseinu Chag. So in fact, Sukkot is called Chag. Chag means festival. It's the only Yom Tov which is just called Chag, because it's the time we're happy, we've been forgiven for our sins. Moshe Rabbeinu came down today from the mountain with the second Lucha, so Hashem is happy. So you've got Chag Hashem as well as Chag Lashem. And we enter Zaman Simchaseinu with this joy that Hashem has given us this clean new slate of forgiving us for our sins, to start afresh, to turn over a new leaf, or to turn over a new fruit. And with that, may you all enjoy a very happy Chag Sameach.